Reading this morning is taken from John, chapter 7, verses 14 to 31, starting at verse 14. Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having studied?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus said to them, "I did one miracle, and you are all astonished. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. Now if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so can the law of Moses maybe not be broken. Why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. Is Jesus the Christ?" At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? But we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." At this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his time had not yet come. Still many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, "When the Christ comes, he will do more miraculous signs than this man."
We're starting a new series, PowerPoints for Faith, and we're thinking really about sharing the good news and what it is, how we live it, how we enjoy the benefit of the good news, but mostly how do we share it. So we need to start at the very beginning because, as you know, it's the very best place to start. So we're going to start with Jesus. Let me see if this now works. No, it doesn't. I'm going to have to keep giving Glyn the nod. Christianity, as the name suggests, is built on the foundation of Christ. And if we see who he is, then some of the other questions that people have about the Christian faith are quite naturally solved. For example, the existence and character of God are revealed in Jesus. So if Jesus is who he says he is and who we think he is, then that kind of deals with quite a number of things, because the character of God, the existence of God, the purpose and destiny of mankind, the authority of Scripture and the meaning of the cross are all taught by Jesus. So if he is reliable, then we can then look to him as a source of information. So it's really important that we start with Jesus. Now Jesus, as we've already heard, claimed to be the only begotten Son of God. He claimed to be equal with God, and he claimed to reveal him to the world. So these are pretty major claims. So if this is wrong, we really need to say so now, so that you don't have to come back next week. But we need to get this clear in our head, because until we have Jesus clear in our head, we won't really understand the rest of the gospel and what it is we're sharing. So John Stott, in his book Basic Christianity, said this: "Our purpose is to marshal evidence to prove that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. We shall not be satisfied with a verdict declaring his vague divinity. It is his unique deity which we mean to establish. We believe him to possess an eternal and essential relation to God, possessed by no other person. We regard him neither as God in human disguise, or as a man with divine qualities. We believe him to be God made man. Only so could he be worthy of not just our admiration, but our worship." And that's what Christmas was about: God made man. Not kind of wearing a disguise or a mask, you know, not a kind of superhuman X-Man type character, but God made man. And actually, when you listen to some of the things, or even just cast your mind back to what Jeff read us, some of his claims, some of the things he said about himself were really quite something. Because he said that that people's response to him was the criteria for entry into heaven. That's quite something. If I said to you, "Follow me or you'll go to hell," I hope you would leave. You know, or if I said, "Follow me and you'll go to heaven, everything will be all right. Leave everything and follow me and everything will be all right." Then again, make sure you've got your checkbook and leave. Because that's cult language, isn't it? It's frightening language. But in fact, Jesus said that. More than that, when Peter at Caesarea Philippi said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he didn't go, "Oh, dull, Peter, you are funny." Instead, he actually said, "You're right, and God has revealed this to you." When he went into Jerusalem in the triumphal entry, and people were singing and shouting, blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us. The chief priests and all the religious leaders got really mardy. But Jesus didn't say, "Oh, they're just over-egging it." He said, "That's right. This is to fulfill the prophecies that come from Zechariah." So when you think about what Jesus said about himself, his claims about himself, and sort of indirectly the things that he was able to do and say, they're really quite something. And that if he's not who he says he is, then we really need to know now so that we can act intelligently. You see, next one please. Other religions or other religious leaders say, "Here is truth," whether it's Buddha, whether it's Muhammad, whether it's Confucius. They say, "Here is truth. Follow this." But Jesus said, "I am truth." He didn't say, "Follow a code of teaching, do this and you'll be all right." He said, "Follow me." Not just follow this lifestyle, not follow this creed, but he said, "Follow me." That is so different, isn't it? Because it means that it all hangs on him, not just what he taught. With other teachers, you know, it doesn't matter that Buddha is dead if you're a Buddhist, because you still have his teaching. It doesn't matter if Muhammad is dead, because you have his teaching in the Quran. But Jesus said, "Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so if he's not who he said he was, and if he's not alive now, then we can't follow him. And the things that he said were not true. And the whole thing is a lie. So we need to get this clear in our heads, don't we? It all focuses on Jesus. The next one, please. Jesus made a number of direct claims. I shan't sort of read you them all, but you'll know them. And what I'll do is I'll get these PowerPoints put up on the website afterwards so that you can follow through and be absolutely sure of these things. First of all, he said that he was the Son of God. He was even crucified. He was accused of insurrection, but he was actually crucified for blasphemy, for saying that he was the Son of God. He said that he was the Messiah. "Do you believe that the Messiah is coming?" he says to the woman at the well. She says, "Yeah, at some point." And he says, "I who am speaking to you am he." He said, I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. He said that God was his Father, and we heard that in the passage that Jeff read to us. He said that God was his Father, that he came from God, and that he was equal with God. He said, I and the Father are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father. That's incredible. I mean, if that's not true, that is outrageous blasphemy. I and the Father are one. He who has seen me has seen God. I wouldn't say that, would you? Jesus did. And yet we hold him as a character without equal. So, you know, it's either true or it's just the most shocking outrage. And then he said, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He actually claimed eternality, an existence before his human existence on earth. And his deity, he claimed to be God. And when Thomas saw his hands and his feet, and he said, look, here are the wounds after the resurrection. Thomas fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And Jesus didn't rebuke him for calling him God, for calling him Lord. He just chastised him a bit for his unbelief, for being so slow to get there. And so that's really absolutely amazing. So next, we have the indirect claims. So there his direct claims that he's the Son of God, the Messiah, that God's his Father, that he's eternal, that he is God, and that he accepted people's worship. His indirect claims come from being able to do what only God can do. For example, he claimed to be able to forgive sins. Think about that for a second. That's incredibly egocentric, isn't it? If Jeff and Jonathan had an argument and they fell out, and I went between the two of them and said, I forgive you both. You're like, you what? It's none of your business. Whereas, actually, if I was responsible for everyone, if I was the creator of everyone, and in the words of Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned, O Lord, at that point, God is the one who can forgive sin. I can't forgive sin for other people, can I? I can ask for forgiveness, and I can give forgiveness to those that ask it. But as a general thing, only God can do that, because God is the one who is above all other things in a category of one. And yet Jesus says to the lame man who comes in, he's expecting his legs to get sorted, and he says, son, your sins are forgiven you. And everyone again, what? Only God can forgive sins? That's not right. And then Jesus does the double whammy and he says, so that you can know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Up you get. And he gets up as well. So it proves that Jesus is able to do what only God can do. He has the ability to give life. He gives life in Lazarus, obviously. But he also says that the time is coming when the dead will hear his voice and come to life. He says that he has the ability to teach truth. Now, again, where I'm quoting scripture clearly, I'm confident that what I'm saying is true. But I'm also quite confident that I get things wrong, that on certain days of the week and certain times of the day, I can be an absolute clot. And I can hardly remember my own name. And so I wouldn't claim to be able to exhaustively and comprehensively and completely teach truth. Whereas Jesus didn't just say, I teach truth. He said, I am truth. Whoa, that's incredible. If it wasn't true. He said things like, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. He did things like, if a prophet spoke in the Bible, they would say, thus says the Lord. And always claim God's authority. Thus says the Lord. Jesus didn't do that. He said, truly, truly, I say to you. He's really making big claims there. And he says that he's the one who would judge the world. That he would be the one that the nations would come before. And he would even be the criteria for whether they were sheep or goats. Because he would say, I never knew you, or I do know you. And so he is the one who claims all these things. So, next one please. In his own words, he said, I and the Father are one. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I am the only way to God. And just in case I think almost like the cherry on the cake, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. I am in charge of everything. Now, again, that's quite some claim, isn't it? And not even Napoleon, not even Captain Mannering would claim that kind of power. So it's absolutely incredible. And what we need to do is we need to see that this gives us a problem. Because people like to think of Jesus as a teacher, as a moral leader, as the founder of a religion, big, big religion. But they're unwilling to face the actual claims that he makes. And so what I want to do is I want to show you something that some of you will have seen before, but it's based on a presentation that a chap called Josh McDowell worked up. And it helps us to think through the claims of Jesus and what are their implications. And again, the reason for doing this is that we're starting this series on PowerPoints for Faith, where we become certain of the gospel so that we're able to live and share the gospel. So keep this in mind, because this is a useful way of thinking things through. So Jesus claimed to be God. Let's not make any bones about it. He said, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of Man. I am Messiah. I am Christ. Jesus claimed to be God. He didn't leave any other options. And so, in terms of simplicity, Josh McDowell helps us and he says, these claims must either be true or false. I mean, there's not really any middle ground, is there? They're either true or they're false. If Jesus' claims are true, then he is Lord, and we're faced with what we're going to do about that. But if they're not, we need to think that through as well. So first of all, consider that his claim was false. If it was false, then we have two, again, and only two alternatives. He either knew it was false, or he didn't know it was false. And so what we're going to do is we're going to think each of those through. First of all, if Jesus' claims were false, let me just make sure, yes, and he knew that they were false, then he was lying. I mean, if I say something that I know is not true, and I know it's not true, then I'm a liar, aren't I? If I know it's not true, I'm a liar. But if he was a liar, then he was also actually a hypocrite, because you read the Sermon on the Mount, and you realize that he spent so much time teaching people about honesty, about integrity, about sort of transparency and a life full of light. And so if he was telling other people to be honest, whatever the cost, while he was living and teaching a lie, then what a whopping hypocrite. What an absolute hypocrite. Which is absolutely shocking, because if you think about the kind of person that could tell people that and actually be living a secret life, knowing that they were lying, knowing that they were misleading people, knowing that he was telling people that they should follow him and that they would go to heaven, but actually he knew it was a lie and they were going to go to hell, that he was leading them away from the true path, that he was deliberately deceiving people, then that man is a bad man. That's an understatement, isn't it? He was an absolutely evil, wicked man. And if you think about that, so the next one, where it says, he knew he was not God, he was deliberately deceiving people, and then the punchline is that he was a liar and an unspeakably bad person because he knew he was doing it. That's one of our options, isn't it? And you look at the life of Jesus and you think, that doesn't quite ring true, does it? All of the things that we sing and say and know about Jesus don't quite resonate with him being a liar. Because, first of all, he'd be an absolute mug, wouldn't he? Because it was his claims to to being God that led to his crucifixion. Now, I might tell you a lie, but if I'm then going to be tortured and crucified and die for that lie, I might backpedal a bit. You know, if I know that's not true, you know, then I'm going to kind of go, ah, actually, you got me. I'll put my hands up and I'll walk away. I think that was a close shave. But I wouldn't die for something that I knew was untrue. I'd have to be an absolute mug for that, wouldn't I? And we're thinking about him being a liar at this point. Would a liar die for a lie? I honestly don't think so. But you also look at how Jesus lived, what Jesus taught, how he died. He couldn't have been a liar. There's absolutely no way he was a liar. It just doesn't work, does it? So our next alternative comes up. If he was a liar, then he knew he wasn't God and he was deliberately deceiving people. But what if he actually thought he was God? That he wasn't, but he thought he was. He genuinely thought that he was wrong, because it is possible to be both sincere and wrong. I've been sincere and wrong in the past. So what about if he thought, just because it's inconceivable he was a liar, what about the fact that, or the thought that he thought he was God but wasn't? Maybe he didn't know he wasn't God. Maybe he was sincerely deluded. I want to quote Josh McDowell. It's from his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And because I think that he says it as well as it can be said. He says this: "We must remember that for someone to think that he is God, especially in a culture that is fiercely monotheistic, and then to tell others that their eternal destiny depends on believing in him, that's no slight flight of fancy, but lunacy. These thoughts of a lunatic are extreme in the fullest sense. Was Jesus Christ such a person? Studies that have been done on mental health and megalomania, back to Napoleon again, show that consistency, personal relationships, the ability to handle pressure, all go out the window." Think of those three things. You think of someone who's even just sort of slightly off, let alone someone that's claiming to be God, their consistency under pressure, their personal relationships, and their, you know, their ability to handle the demands of people around them. You'd just go into meltdown, wouldn't you? And so he says, "Yet you look at the consistent demands made upon Jesus through the 3 years of ministry, the quality of his teaching, of his example, of his relationships and compassion. This all points to a balanced and whole individual." I think that sums it up perfectly. So the next couple of blocks will come up. If he didn't know that he was God, he was sincerely deluded, and therefore he was a lunatic. They're the options that we have thus far. If they were false, if his claims were false, he has to either be deliberately deceiving people or just completely unaware. And he'd die for a lie then, but there's no way that he would be able to function in the way that he did. And so that doesn't seem to work either. So the alternative now comes up, that the claims are true, that he is who he said he is. That far from being a liar or a lunatic, that he is in fact Lord. That's the next one that comes up. Bingo. If this is the case, then there is a kind of another thing that we need to take note of and consider. Because if he's not a liar, if he's not a lunatic, but if he is Lord, if he is who he says he is, if people's eternal destiny does hang on whether or not they believe in him and follow him, then we have the next thing, which is whether or not we accept him or reject him. We're left with that dilemma, aren't we? There's no other choice. We can't fudge it. And so that is kind of where we come to at the end of our first talk. This is the first point in understanding the gospel, to see that it stands or falls on Jesus. Because if he wasn't who he said he was, then it doesn't matter whether he was crucified or not. Because if he was just a lunatic, it was just a tragedy in history, wasn't it? That this poor madman was crucified and tortured. Or if he was a hypocrite and a liar, then maybe he deserved to die. But certainly he wasn't able to do anything of any value to us. Whereas if he was Lord, and he said that it was through him, through his death on the cross, through his substitution, and through his resurrection, that we find a way home to God, to know God as our Father, to know forgiveness and eternal life, then that changes everything, doesn't it? And so the first point is that we need to see, next one please, is that Jesus is who he says he is. But of course, one of the things that we encounter, we can see that clearly, can't we? Because, bless him, Josh McDowell made that really easy for us to understand. A liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Really, even alliterates. How about that? Good old Josh. But not many people want to take it that far. They want to have Jesus as this historical figure who said some amazing things and perhaps did some amazing things. And that's about it. He's the historical founder of a religion. Well, if you do that, if you make him just a historical figure or just a teacher, you make him less than what he said he was. And so you're not dealing honestly with the claims that he makes on your life. And so the well-known Oxford Don and scholar C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, and again, I just want to read you this quote because I'm not going to better C.S. Lewis. So in Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis says this: I'm trying here to prevent people saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus, which is, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says that he's a poached egg, or else he would be the very devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord, but don't come up with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great moral teacher. He hasn't left that alternative open to us. Boom. That is when the penny drops and we see that Jesus is Lord. For us, it's the best news of all because we have gone through that process and we know that he is Lord. And I think the vast, vast majority of us here have accepted him and responded to his claims to follow him, to believe in him. The Bible teaches that there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So as we sing our final song, take note especially of the first line. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Let's stand together and sing.